Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former Greenskeeper now about to become the Masters champion.
It's 5 o'clock.
My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair.
A tradition, unlike any other.
I tell you, I don't understand it. I'm playing the worst game of my life.
Hey, put yourself down. You're not good. Stink.
It's a Masters Week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080.
For
the Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's your Sports Bros on a Monday. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate that. I'm Isaac. That's Souk.
Sada.
Sada. Coming up tonight.
Dead sa.
In our club hour. In honor of something we talked about last week, mm-hmm. we were talking about why the Scandinavian countries always rank so high on like happiness lists.
We're wonderful. That's why.
I have the happiest and unhappiest nations in the world.
Oh, okay.
And we'll see where the U.S. ranks.
I do so enjoy my mother, born and raised in Sweden. Like I said, I do so enjoy throwing the Scandinavian countries at, maybe some of the more conservative folks, because they just get so damn angry. It's quite fun to do. I highly recommend that from time to time, even if it's just a kind of a fun troll job, because I'm just kind of poking the bear a little bit. But a lot of people in our country cannot handle that there are people outside of our country that can be happy. We tend to have that view that if you don't live, it's happier than us. Yes. If you don't live in the United States, you're miserable.
Or better than us.
And you desperately want to be in the United States.
And the best is they have a great system for what they...
Yes.
For them.
It works for them.
For them.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean it works here.
Americans are like, oh, that would never work here because, shut up! America. They always try to find ways to say that it can never work. We're different.
We are different. We're special.
Are we?
We're special little snowflakes.
Mm. Took a quick sip of water there. Gonzaga versus Baylor. That's the game tonight.
Yes.
To cap off the NCAA tournament. We will discuss that here in our next segment. And then Sam Darnold. Did you know he got traded today?
I did know he got traded today. That is big, big news.
Big news. Big quarterback news. But I'm not really sure what the team that got him is doing. But
well, we'll see, because you kind of got two of the same guy, but you got a younger one that I guess you haven't really kind of figured out exactly what he is, even though 99 times out of 100 after 3 years, you kind of are what you are in the NFL. But there is the Alex Smiths of the world and the Ryan Tannehills, and I think the hope is that, you know, Ryan Tannehill got Adam Gase down in Miami, and I think some people hope that Sam Darnold has that and can be Ryan Tannehill as well.
Right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the Fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
What's going on?
I got bronchitis.
Deal is in with how many Super Bowls have the Scandinavian countries hosted? Zero goes with the amount of people they've sent to the moon. USA! USA! USA!
Number five. number five.
Okay, guys. Major League Baseball season is underway with the exception of the Washington Nationals, who are being left behind.
Yes, and
they're
feel
being
like
kicked out
they
of the
should
league.
Have been forced to forfeit that series against the Mets.
But. However, well, they had some COVIDs.
Yes.
They have been cleared to get underway tomorrow, so they will open their season against the Braves and then play a doubleheader against Atlanta on Wednesday. Starters Trey Turner and Josh Bell were not present at their workouts today. Nobody knows what that means. Previous reports indicated that they will be without Kyle Schwarber, John Lester, Josh Harrison, and Alex Avila for now.
The Mets got their season finally underway. They were the one that was supposed to play the Nationals. They're top of the fourth against the Phillies 0-0 right now.
That DeGrom guy.
Yes.
Pretty good.
He's quite good.
And Mike thinks Frankie Lindor looks good in a Mets uniform.
Well, he should, because they just gave him an official, I believe the term is, a buttload of cash.
He does look quite good in that uniform.
Exciting year for the Mets.
I am quite excited about the Mets.
And Giancarlo Stanton just hit a grand slam.
Of course. Look at Mike just pouncing on your Mets.
You know, it literally just happened. It's exciting.
No one cares about the Yankees. We were talking Mets, man.
The real
freaking
team,
Yankee
in New York,
guys.
Mike. The real team. Front runner.
North Carolina needs a coach to replace Roy Williams, and it appears they have one. Reports that it will be assistant Hubert Davis.
First African American coach in UNC history.
Okay. Of course, he played there.
He played there, and he's been a longtime assistant, and this would continue the trend. North Carolina has not hired a head coach outside of their ranks since, I think it's 1952.
Fascinating.
Yeah, they love themselves some North
they
Carolina.
They think it's all about what you got to know the Dean Smith traditions.
Well, and supposedly too, I guess Roy, this was kind of his wishes as well. So I guess on the way out the door, this is at least from what I read, this was a he didn't tell him what to do, but it was highly encouraged that this would be the way they should go.
Oregon State extends the contract of Wayne Tinkle.
Nice.
4 years through 2026-27.
Good. You know, you make it to the Elite Eight, you should. Get some security there, and yeah. He's done a nice job.
Well, I wonder if he's got any offers.
Yeah, who knows?
You know
but I think if you're Oregon State, you don't want to take any chances because, you know, you get hot and you have another nice year next year. Who knows? This way, hopefully you lock him up and, you know, he's the guy going forward. Help sell that to recruits that you're building something good there. And again, he deserves it.
Stop me if you've heard this before, but Blazers big man Yusuf Nurkic has right knee inflammation.
Yes.
And he will not play against the Clippers tomorrow night.
I wouldn't read too much into this. You know, it's a sore knee. Come on. Until we hear that there will be further evaluation of the surgery.
You're really telling Blazer fans?
Everyone.
That is, there's nothing to
down.
It. It's a big man it's with a sore knee, and you're like,
knee.
Just a sore knee.
It's just a
really?
Sore knee.
You
it's
ass.
Just a sore knee. Let's all take a deep breath. We're going to get through this thing together. He's going to be fine, although he's being sued for dumping trash in someone's yard.
The Zers did sign TJ Leaf to a two-way contract,
well,
so that's exciting.
You don't need Nurkic. You got TJ Leaf riding this UCLA train.
The Jets have traded quarterback Sam Darnold to the Panthers.
A little surprised that they were able to do as well as they did. They got a second, a fourth, and a sixth.
Yeah, the sixth will be in this year's draft, and the second and fourth will be in next year's draft. Sam Darnold is only 23. The NFL may be eliminating the Monday Night Football doubleheader to open the season. Instead, per the new TV deal, they'll play a Week 18 Saturday doubleheader. So that date this next year would be January 8th.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, aren't there going to be a couple Monday night doubleheaders this year, they said?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's going to be three total.
But we're eliminating week one, maybe.
To open the season. So they can move one to the Saturday of week 18.
Okay.
The games can be flexed, so it would feature teams fighting for playoff spots. So there.
That is the nice part, is that Sunday night and Monday night give more flexibility in this new TV deal. So hopefully we won't get as many horrid primetime games. It's terrible, like when, you know, they think the Washington team's supposed to be good, and then you get to week eight and
terrible.
You know, they're 1-7 and they're on Monday night.
God. The NCAA tournament finale is tonight. And it should be a good one, folks. We have preseason number one and number two meeting in the final.
They have been the two best teams wire to wire. They were supposed to play at the start of the year. COVID ended up canceling that. And I also think that there's a little bit of added, kind of interest here in that Gonzaga was supposed to be this unstoppable juggernaut. UCLA gave them all they could handle. And on the other end, Baylor just bitch slapped Houston. So I think all of a sudden there's some people looking at this and saying, look, Baylor is no slouch here. Baylor's going to give these guys a game.
This is the fifth title game ever. Well, not ever. In the AP poll era, this is the fifth title game to feature the preseason 1-2. The Zags trying to become the first team to go undefeated all season since Indiana in 1976. So quite a bit on the line tonight.
Yes. By the way, the Zags 4.5-point favorites against the Baylor Bears. And I would also like to point out that under no circumstance should anyone root for Baylor. So even if you don't like Gonzaga, you should hate Baylor a lot more. Go Zags.
They will tip it at 6:20 during our club hour. Coors Light brings you the Hot 5 at 5. Live sports are back, always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Let's look at it, shall we?
Let's.
Gonzaga, Baylor, next on The Fam.
It's time for Who's Leading the Charge? A look under the hood at the coaches, players, and teams getting it done. Brought to you by Battery Exchange.
I don't like to call timeout in that situation because I think you can, make an open court play better before they set up their defense. But I was wondering if we were going to get the ball out of the net, so I thought we might need a timeout there. So I was getting ready to kind of yell at the guys. But then they got it in, and then I knew we were good because it was in Jalen's hands.
Yeah, he's right about that. Like, a timeout there would have ruined everything.
Yeah.
Well, you just got to get it in and make a play.
And unlike the NBA, you don't get to advance the ball. So, it can be harder. And sometimes you just give the other team a chance to set up their defense. And, Suggs went wire to wire and hit the Damian Lillard bank there.
Who's Leading the Charge? Brought to you by Battery Exchange. Over 14 area locations to serve you. Free electrical system checks for your vehicle. Battery Exchange with an X.com.
This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
More quarterback shuffling today. Sam Bradford has a new... Sam Darnold has a new home. And we'll tell you where he's going.
Sam Bradford may have a new home. I don't know. Maybe he's in the market.
Could Jimmy G be far behind? That's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, you could have Garoppolo who's on the market, and this could mean that Teddy Bridgewater is out there if someone's looking for a bridge, borderline starter.
Or, Deshaun Watson.
You cannot trade for Deshaun Watson at this point.
All right, but that's in our next segment. Gonzaga Baylor tonight, which is about as good a final as we could have hoped for in this tournament.
1-2 preseason, and both have looked the part. We said it after the round of 32. We said there, it kind of feels wide open, and it feels like the two best teams are Gonzaga and Baylor, and it has been consistently that way. As good as Gonzaga has looked, you mentioned what Baylor has won every game by, I think it was at least 9, right?
Yeah, they've only won one game by less than double digits. Arkansas. It was only a nine-point game, but
yeah,
they've been rolling fools. And by the way, I would like to point out, you just made me think of it with your statement there. It was all the pundits saying it would be Gonzaga in Illinois, and I told you it would not be Gonzaga in Illinois because for the sole reason of everyone's picking Gonzaga, Illinois, and I'll be damned, here we are, and it is not Gonzaga in Illinois.
Although, to be fair, if you didn't have Gonzaga in Illinois, you had Gonzaga in Baylor.
That's probably true.
This was by far, it was Gonzaga, Illinois, Gonzaga, Baylor, and literally every smart guy bracket that I saw. And so, yes, they were off on the Illinois thing, but they were right about Baylor.
Well, but you can't have two teams in there against Gonzaga.
No, you cannot.
I think what happened was a lot of the pundits... It was too obvious to go with Baylor, so they had to pick another team that they thought...
They had to go with the hot team.
And the hot team was Illinois, even though they were one seed. But
and they got done just saying, that
team looked terrible. I watched that game. Loyola Chicago beat them.
Yeah, they slapped them
Illinois
around.
Illinois sucks.
Well, they were saying that this could have been the greatest conference in of season of all time in the Big Ten, so I think there was an element of that. And meanwhile, little old Baylor is just kind of trudging along there. And I hate Baylor to my very core, but... Give Scott Drew some credit there. When he took that thing over, he wasn't allowed to play non-conference games because of sanctions. They were down, I think, to 6 scholarship players that he had. I mean, that...
Wait, is that the same guy that took over after...
I think he took over right after the...
After the mess.
The Dave Bliss era? Yeah.
No kidding.
I don't think that there was another... Wow. I don't think there was another coach. And if it was, it wasn't long because he was right in the midst of it. When he took over, he had 6 scholarships. You couldn't play non-conference. I mean, it was an absolute mess. You couldn't have had a worse situation to dig yourself out of, and he did it. Now, that being said, F you, Baylor, I can't stand you, but that is one of the great rebuilds in the history of college sports.
You're right.
Yeah.
Not enough credit being given to that. He was the guy right after Bliss.
Yep.
Man, I didn't think he'd been there that long.
Yep.
That was 2003.
Yep. 18 years ago. And look at him. I mean, it's taken a long time, but there was patience there, and he has had opportunities to go other places, and he has not. He has stuck it out, and so...
Hey, God, man.
it's Bala Jesus. So it's a great story. You look at improbable. I don't know which is more improbable. What Mark Few has built at Gonzaga, or taking over a non-traditional powerhouse like Baylor... After all that they had been through and couldn't have had a worse platform to build from. And then over the span of 17, 18 years, I don't know which one's more improbable, but here they are staring at each other. And it's kind of an amazing story.
I think Gonzaga is still more improbable.
Yeah. Little Catholic school up in, by the way, both religious institutions. So I don't know who Jesus is rooting for in this one, but apparently he's going to have a vested interest.
Well, I think what's crazy about Gonzaga is they've been so good for so long, but not this good.
No.
Right? They were always really good and a good tournament team, but there was always that kind of, when push comes to shove, they may never win one, but what a great program they've built.
Yeah.
Well, now, just in the last 5 years, I feel like they've cranked it up another notch. And got to the final with that Zach Collins team. And now here, and Jalen Suggs is, he was a 5-star recruit offered by everybody. And then they got another 5-star kid coming in next year.
Yep.
So they really, and Few's been there a long time, but really only in the last, seems like, 5 years have they taken it to the next level, which is championship. Like, watch out. I mean, like, one of the best teams. They're a blue blood now.
Yep.
You know.
Well, and there's a bunch of people. And again, we fall victim to this because... it's what we've seen in recency bias, but I've seen several of the talking heads say that this is as good a college basketball team since I've heard the Christian Laettner Duke teams. I've heard the UNLV squads that ran roughshod in the early 90s. You know, they are talking about that this isn't just a good team, that this could go and be a historic team. And no one's been perfect. Other than since the 1976 Hoosiers. So if you finish this thing off and the dominant fashion in which they've done it, it will go down as one of the best college teams of all time.
Yeah, it may, but it shouldn't. I mean, I think that they're certainly one of the greatest teams of this era, but not all time, because they're not playing against the level of players that some of those old teams were.
Sure.
I mean, if you look at, like, the greatest teams...
With Leightner and...
Well, you had Leightner, Hurley, and Hill in the 80s. Mm-hmm. You had Greg Anthony, Stacey Ogman, Larry Johnson, the UNLV teams in the 90s.
Yep.
You had Weber, Rose, Howard King, and the other guy. the Fab Five. That was early 90s. You had North Carolina had Jerry Stackhouse and Rasheed Wallace at the same time. The old Kansas team I always talk about was a team that lost one game all season until they ran into Arizona in the tournament. And that was Rafe LaFrance, Paul Pierce, Scott Pollard, Jacques Vaughn. I mean, they were loaded.
Pretty damn good.
And yet the 4 seed, Arizona, had better. I mean, in hindsight, you look back at the 4 seed, that had Mike Bibby and Miles Simon and Michael Dickerson.
I think Richard Jefferson might have been on that squad.
I thought he might have been later. But anyway, there's just been a lot of Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, the Kentucky teams. You go back to some of those Kentucky teams that didn't even win titles.
Were just
Antoine filthy. Walker and all those guys. Tony Delk.
Well, I think the Anthony Davis squad, didn't they have 7? Didn't they have 7 first round picks?
Did they?
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
That was 2012. So that's probably the best team of this era. So when you talk about Gonzaga, I think they're one of the greatest teams of this era if they finish this off. Even if they don't. I mean, this team's phenomenal. Yeah. But not all time. I would put Anthony Davis – Kentucky team with Kid Gilchrist and those guys, Terrence Jones, that's probably the best team of this era.
And yet no one was able to be perfect, and they are they're on the precipice of it. But again, you got to get by Baylor, and we kind of, everyone was under the impression this was a coronation, but I think UCLA woke a lot of people up to the fact that, you know, no matter how good you are, and I haven't seen many people picking Baylor, kind of going through all the different expert picks. I think everyone at ESPN that I saw had Gonzaga winning in a close game. But, you know, Baylor is significantly better than UCLA, and UCLA gave them everything they could handle. And that's the one thing that you saw with UCLA is you had a couple guys at UCLA that could create shots on their own and get buckets. And that, as good as Gonzaga is, their defense is not, you know, this isn't those UNLV squads. This isn't the amoeba defense. And Baylor has three, if not four, guys that can all create and can all create their own offense and get to the rim. And so I think this is going to be interesting to watch those four talented guards for Baylor go up against the squad for Gonzaga.
Well, that's why Baylor's going to score. I mean, you got the two best offenses in college basketball.
Yeah.
They're 1-2 in offensive efficiency. And, you know, Baylor, so they've had a much tougher run to the final than Gonzaga has.
Yes.
Baylor's beaten, based on the top 25 rankings, they've beaten number 6, number 10, and number 18. The highest ranked team the Zags have had to beat is number 19.
Yeah.
So Baylor's every bit as impressive as Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga gets more pub because of the story, but also how just the way Gonzaga plays is really pretty. It's just the way they share the ball, and Suggs gets a lot of pub, but Baylor is just as good as Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a battle.
And that too is that the Davion Mitchell and, you know, battling, they're saying if Baylor wins, he's the player of
watch
the tournament.
That guy. If you have not seen Davion Mitchell play. Okay. So when I watch college basketball, I never know. It's so hard for me to look at guys and go, okay, that guy's going to be a great NBA player. That guy's going to suck in the NBA. I have no idea. Right. But case in point, I looked at USC's team and went, oh my God, I feel like when they were kicking Kansas's ass and Oregon's ass, I thought, you know, they might have four NBA guys on that team.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, Gonzaga makes them look like children. Davion Mitchell is one of those guys that you watch play and go, holy crap, how is he not going to be an elite NBA player?
And he plays on both ends. He's like a Mike Conley type. And he was all up. Who is it? Grimes, the big stud for Houston. And he just was up in his kitchen and could do nothing against him. He's that guy that'll play both ways. And that'll be fun to watch because I'm sure that he's going to be paired up with Suggs and watching those two guys, you know, go at it.
But I would bet a medium sum of money that Davion Mitchell is great in the NBA, which I probably just cursed him. You know,
you gave him the Rob kiss of death
because I'm no NBA scout. But man, when you watch him,
plays on
but I just
ends.
Don't think a lot of people have watched Baylor that much. They're kind of, you know, they're guard heavy. They're good, but they're just not as pretty as Gonzaga. So I think a lot of people are sleeping on how good Baylor is, and this is going to be it should be a barn burner.
I'm excited because
I don't think Gonzaga plays good defense. So does Baylor, but both teams are so legit offensively that I just think you're going to get a lot of points.
Yeah, you should.
And it's going to be exciting.
And that's what kind of the made the UCLA Gonzaga game so fun is, you know, look, good basketball is good basketball, but I think we can all agree in college, God, watching the thing get played into the mid 40s is just not. It's not the most exciting thing in the world, and this one we should get into the 80s again, and that just makes it a more enjoyable watch.
All right, Sam Darnold traded. We'll talk about that next. Here's Mike.
This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
You know, the more I think about the Sam Darnold trade, the more I kind of feel what Carolina was doing. So if you didn't see it, Sam Darnold was dealt by the Jets to the Panthers today.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets, of course, are going to take Zach Wilson, number 2, most likely.
Yeah. And so this they got in return, they got a second, a fourth, and a sixth.
Yeah. So and I first saw
nice
that
return.
I was like, well, yeah, it's pretty good. Plus, you don't need Darnold.
No,
you're going to draft your franchise guy, the BYU kid. So when I first saw that, I'm like, what is Carolina doing? Like, that's the same guy that they already have. But the more I think about it, if you think if they think that Darnold has more upside than Bridgewater, mm-hmm. why not trade for Darnold, and then you can flip Bridgewater
yeah.
and get your money back, and now you have a quarterback with more upside. In other words, it's kind of a lateral move, yeah. but it probably has more upside, assuming they can get back somewhat close to what they gave up for Darnold by trading Bridgewater.
Yeah, my guess is with Bridgewater, you'll probably end up somewhere in a third or a fourth round pick coming back for Bridgewater.
So Go ahead.
You'll probably end up giving up a second, you know, the sixth, whatever, but you'll probably end up getting back let's say a fourth, and you gave up a second to go out and get Sam Darnold, and you feel like it's an upgrade. You looked at Bridgewater for a year. You thought that he was, and you signed him to a deal, right? You went out and got him, but the cap hit isn't astronomical or anything. This isn't like, we've seen this with a lot of these bridge type quarterbacks. They're basically 1 or 2 year guaranteed deals. They're not hard to get out of. And so you move on from him, and you feel like, you know what Teddy Bridgewater is. He's not going to be your future. And you feel like with Sam Darnold, you're taking a pretty cheap flyer. You'll get him this year cheap. You'll do the fifth year extension next year where there'll be some significant money. So basically you got 2 years or even a year, and you can decline the option if you want. But you got a year, maybe two, to kick the tires on this and see if Sam Darnold doesn't suck, if it was just Adam Gase's fault. And if so, then you feel like you've still got your young franchise quarterback. And I've heard plenty of people that say that if Darnold were coming into this year's draft, that he would be right in that mix for the second, third, or fourth quarterback. I just was never real high on him at Southern Cal. I thought he was wildly inconsistent. I think people got caught up in the hype. He had that big Rose Bowl, but Sam Darnold was largely, I thought he was largely a disappointment at USC, but there's a lot of people, Colin Coward, that still think he's the second coming, and he's going to get an opportunity to prove that it was not him, that it was the system.
So if I told you that the Panthers could just drop down from, you know, say the second to the third, and upgrade from Bridgewater to Darnold, would you do that?
Yeah, I think I would do that.
Because that sounds like what they're doing now. Yeah. They could hold on to Bridgewater mm-hmm. and just have two quarterbacks and have a really good backup.
Sure.
Because, like, say neither of them cost all that much.
No.
But that's kind of weird. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a situation where you have two similar quarterbacks like that.
Yeah.
That are kind of interchangeable. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess Darnold would win that competition.
I think it's more so along the lines of, you know what Teddy Bridgewater is, you don't know what Sam Darnold is. So while I look at them and I say they're, and you did too, that they're kind of the same guy, I think the idea is that the ceiling is much higher if you think that you can fix Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I agree, but it's all about winning games, and, you know.
He has not.
Yeah, I mean, like, if Bridgewater gives you a better chance to win because he doesn't turn it over, I mean, Darnold turns it over a lot.
Yeah, I think the thing is with you're with Carolina is that, you know, and this is the same thing that the Niners had, when you give your GM and you give your head coach the kind of these big long contracts, you're giving them some leeway to say you don't have to be good right away, that this is going to be a slow build. So I think this is one of those where you kick the tires on it for a year or two, and if it doesn't work out and you stink, then you're back in the market in a year or two, and you're going to find your quarterback there. So, you know, and if you're Carolina, you were drafting
ninth.
Yeah, you're drafting ninth, you were drafting eighth. The other thing too, and this is what I just don't understand why draft pundits can't figure this out, is if you're sitting there at eight, you are going to be able to get one of the quarterbacks. We know that. But we all assume there's a quarterback there. It's a first-round guy. You have to take him. What this tells me is that Carolina looked through these guys, whether it's Mac Jones, Trey Lance, whoever you think is going to be there at eight, because one of them will be there at eight, and you said, we don't like him. So we can sit up here and say that there's five quarterbacks in the first round, but that doesn't matter if the Carolina Panthers don't believe that one of them, other than Trevor Lawrence or whoever is not, who's ever going to fall to them, isn't worth it. So we get far too caught up in this, well, I've been told that there's this many franchise quarterbacks. No. History tells us about 25% of first-round quarterbacks work out and end up truly being a franchise-type guy. So if you get five of these guys that go in the first round, do some math. And we're assuming that Trevor Lawrence is going to be one because he's this can't-miss prospect. So this just tells me that Carolina didn't love their options sitting there at eight. And if that's the case, then I think they made a real smart move to kind of hedge their bet here with Sam Darnold. I would rather punt on taking a quarterback at 8, draft a guy, whoever that is, whether that's Kyle Pitts or one of the elite tackles, maybe Penei Sewell falls to you, or Slater, the kid out of Northwestern, or you take Surtain, you take one of the elite corners, whoever is going to be there. And then you say, hey, we'll try to get our quarterback a year or two from now when we truly feel that one is a franchise guy. You don't take a quarterback that you don't think is truly a franchise quarterback simply because you need one and he's the last guy on the board.
Did you see what Mike Greenberg's daughter tweeted about this?
No.
Because the great Mike Greenberg.
He's a huge Jets honk.
He's a Jets guy. His daughter's name is Nikki, and she pokes fun at him a lot. And she said, in my lifetime, my father's decided that Chad Pennington, Mark Sanchez, and Sam Darnold have been the savior of his team, and I'm only 20.
Well, welcome to the club, Zach Wilson. Because, there's a lot of pressure.
Another one.
If you're Zach Wilson, it's slightly different going from the pressure of Provo playing a bunch of nobodies to being in New York and expected to be the savior. And by the way, now that Sam's gone, you are the guy from day one. So welcome to the limelight, kid. It's
hopefully they put enough around him. Damian Woody's right. He said if Joe Brady gets Sam Darnold turned around, Brady's a head coach in 2022.
100%. 100%. And then that is going to be interesting with Sam Darnold because – You have a resurrection year and then the guy that kind of helped you is gone and then you have to do it on your own. So, but yes, this will be a huge deal if Brady can get him squared away. And then I think it's interesting in the draft because Jacksonville go quarterback, New York's going quarterback, San Francisco goes quarterback, right? That's going to go 1, 2, 3. Now it comes down to Atlanta. Does Atlanta, who has, they've got their guy in Matt Ryan and they deferred some money. So Matt Ryan is going to be the guy there for at least a couple more years. So do they go with a ballsy move and take a quarterback and sit him there?
Reports say they might be looking to trade down as well.
So, again, do we get into a situation where someone jumps up to go quarterback at 4? Because Cincinnati at 5 is not taking one. Miami's not taking one. Detroit's not taking one. Carolina's not taking one. Here comes the Denver Broncos sitting there at number 9. One, if not two, of these quarterbacks are going to be there in Denver and – what does Denver think of Trey Lance? What does Denver think of Mac Jones? Because one of them, or Justin Fields, one of them should be there at 9. Does Denver pull the trigger? Or Denver, are they like Carolina and be like, no, we're going to address this later, and I guess we're going to give it another year of Drew Lock, and they go out and get an elite corner or, whoever, an elite linebacker. There's going to be a quality player there at 9, so that number 4 slot is very, very interesting to see what Atlanta does or if someone moves up to grab their quarterback.
You know who the last guy was kind of in Joe Brady's seat, who they say Adam Gase fixed, and that's what made him a head coach? Do you remember that? When he was all the rage because he fixed a quarterback, a broken guy?
No, who'd he get?
Jay Cutler,
huh?
And that's how Adam Gase became a head coach.
And Miami and New York are both the worst for it.
All right.
And by the way, all of a sudden, people are talking about Penei Sewell falling, which I don't quite understand, but,
there's been some chatter.
Oh, it's, they made a thing. His pro day was good. It wasn't like the greatest thing in the world, but he had very good numbers. There was nothing in those numbers that, and when you watch the tape to think that guy isn't just a beyond an elite generational tackle, but I've seen a lot of people think that Slater, the kid from Northwestern, is the better tackle and that Penei is dropping down and that he may be available there in the 9, 10, or 11, or maybe
in
even
some
at
cases
13.
Because the other teams would take another need.
Yeah.
Like I've seen Bengal fans arguing amongst themselves to take either Sewell or Ja'Marr Chase. And there's a huge argument in the fan base to say we need a receiver, we need the tackle. If they take Chase and he falls a couple of spots, he could be there at 7, 8, 9.
Look, I haven't seen enough of the Northwestern kid. I've seen only Northwestern play a couple times. I've seen every game that Penei Sewell has played. And there's no such thing as a can't miss prospect. Guys flame out all the time for lots of different reasons. He is as good an offensive lineman as I have ever seen play college football. And I don't give a damn that he's not quite 6'6". I don't give a damn that his arms are an inch shorter, ideally, than what you want. Dude, that guy is a dancing bear. And he was, if not the best offensive lineman, he was the best offensive lineman in the Pac-12 the moment he stepped foot on the field. And within you know, a year and a half, he was the best offensive lineman in college football, period. It baffles me if someone isn't like Cincinnati, that desperately needs an O-lineman, why they wouldn't take him. I just don't get it.
Well, this reporter here will be criticizing Cincinnati if they take Chase over Sewell.
Yes, I will too. I think that is absolutely ridiculous, right, considering the fact that your quarterback got his knee bent backwards. I don't know what the
Don't outthink the room.
There are Bengals fans seriously fighting with other Bengals fans to take Chase. It's the strangest thing.
Dude, yeah, idiots.
Sewell is so, so talented. Just, he is truly an elite athlete.
All right, it's Masters Week next on The Fan.
This is Who's Money in Sports. A look at winning performances and the coaches, players, and teams who get it done. Brought to you by Guild Mortgage.
Looking for McDonald, lobs it into McDonald. 5 seconds left. McDonald, 2 seconds. McDonald traps, heaves, can't hit. That is it. Stanford survives again.
We did have a Pac-12 team win the NCAA tournament, women's side.
We were going to, because two were playing each other.
Stanford.
And look, hell of a run by both teams, but I don't know why we can't just call a spade a spade. That was the worst possession to end a championship game in history. She got quadruple teamed and still put up a contested follow-away three-pointer. She had a hell of a tournament, but pass the ball, my gal.
Scott and Brian at Guild Mortgage. Find the loan to fit your life. Go to homeloansbyscottandbrian.com. Select from hundreds of loan products tailored to fit your needs. Homeloansbyscottandbrian.com.
This is a Masters Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
Super hot Masters storylines tomorrow. We'll have more time to talk Masters. Giordano Spieth, he's back.
You say Giordano?
Yeah, that's what I call him.
All right, putting a little, believe me, no one has less flair, especially ethnic flair, than Jordan Spieth. If you just looked up white country club, it would be just Jordan Spieth. He's smiling at you.
You talk about ethnic flair? Yeah, he definitely lacks that.
Yes.
He has some flair on the golf course, but I would ask you this. Who's more white country club privileged, bro? Him or Justin Thomas? Because I think it's Justin
Thomas.
Well,
they grew up playing with each other.
I know, but
right?
I think Jordan Spieth is more likable. Justin Thomas kind of has resting bitch face.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like mad pouty white rich country club kid.
Well, Spieth is just better looking and kind of more polished than Justin Thomas. So maybe there's
minus
like
Spieth's hair.
I think Spieth got the plugs though. I gotta like he his
he's
hair
been working on it.
I think he's doing the Tom Brady thing. I think he's got enough money now where he thinks he can fix his hair.
Well, hey, the women's tournament was a hell of a tournament.
Yeah, I think that they had a real nice accounting for themselves. And I was listening to Kelly Graves was on. He's on with Dusty and AJ like every 4 days. Like he's
Kelly Graves show.
Yeah, he's the third member of.
Son plays, or I mean.
He plays at Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
But he was talking back when they were still in the tourney, and he was making the point that he was telling his team, and I've heard this sentiment a couple times from different women's coaches, and look, it kind of sucks that this has to be the narrative, but they said, hey man, we've made a lot of noise, right? We're talking about equality, and you know, we're standing up for ourselves and the weight room thing and the food and the conditions, and it's time that we got to go out and prove it, right? There's a lot of people that don't respect our game and think that we should just take, you know, the crappy meal and the one dumbbell set. And I think the women had a really, they had a nice tournament and kind of a, kind of stood up and said, yeah, we're not second class citizens. And I think they did a lot to kind of move that game forward. And I think you're getting more and more respect. I think it's a slow build, and there'll be people that never fully respect it. And, you know, it's not as athletic. It's not as interesting. It's not as exciting as the men's game, but you got to stop comparing it to the men's game and hopefully just have an appreciation for what it is. And I do think that this tournament, from just kind of what I'm hearing and some of the feedback that you're hearing kind of buzzing around the internet, I think this was a nice showcase for them. And I think it helps that it wasn't UConn and it wasn't Baylor. Or it wasn't South Carolina. The problem that women's basketball has had is the same way that like women's MMA had, is that when you started it, there was like one dominant team or one or two teams, and that was it. There wasn't enough upsets. There wasn't enough intrigue. And I think the fact that you had Stanford, even though they were one seed, but in Arizona, and you actually had some upsets, and that you're getting some more competitive balance, I think that will help the women's game going forward.
I agree with everything you said. And I think that the women's tournament turned a corner this year. That's what I think.
Yeah. And that's
legitimacy, coverage, entertainment value, all of that. I feel like, I mean, it's the same thing you said, but it's just, I feel like this is like a marquee tournament for them. This was the one that made people go, well, wait a minute. That tournament's just as exciting because there were some great, like you said, they had the upsets. That was big, but there were some great freaking games, man.
Yes.
Like that South Carolina, was it South Carolina Stanford?
South Carolina Stanford.
Holy crap.
And then UConn and Baylor. And like, it became a national talking point. It's not very often. The women's soccer team has managed to do this. Serena does this. Osaka has done this in the tennis, where they become the trending topic. Like when you go on Twitter, that's what people are discussing. And boy, the WNBA doesn't get there, and the women's basketball just in general doesn't get there. And when you see the LeBron Jameses of the world, and you see the NBA guys, and you see the other college, when you see the Suggs of the world, when you see some of the big names in the men's college game that are all talking about this, I'm with you in that I think this was a big moment for women's college basketball. And you even saw this on a professional level. You know, Kobe was really championing the women's game, you know, before, you know, obviously the tragedy struck. And I think you're seeing more people that are standing up for in the new Space Jam with LeBron. They've got two WNBA players that are in there. So I do think that the women's game is gaining more acceptance and more coverage. And you know, tournaments like this and endings like this are going to be the thing that continues to drive it. That being said, worst possession I've ever seen to end a national title game, and I don't know why we can't be critical of it. It baffles me that everyone today has been treating this with horrid kid gloves and being like, well, you leave it in the best player's hands, and no, you don't. That was atrocious. And the only possession that might have been worse than the last one for Arizona was Stanford's last possession when they got a shot clock violation with a chance to seal it.
Yeah, but that happens in the men's game all the time.
That thing was horrific. I've never seen a 4-on-1 and the person refused to pass the ball. It was a wide open lane down at the end to win that thing.
And you said we can't be critical. Well, we can, because you have all day.
Yeah, I know. Like, but then I'm a big, fat, sexist jerk, and I'm awful. When I'm the exact opposite,
I agree with that.
I'm treating them as equals, because we'd be killing men for doing that, and we should be equally killing the gal from Arizona.
Canceled. Sexist. Fake news. Canceled.
Sorry.
The club is next. Hey, what are the happiest and unhappiest? Did I just turn into like a...
You got a Jewish mom there. From the
it was kind of more like Minnesota, I thought.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
There was
too.
A little more upper Midwest than that.
Are you happy or unhappy?
Maybe from Wisconsin.
What are the happiest and unhappiest nations in the world? Next on The Fam.